Okay, you know the feeling, right? You've polished your resume, you've written that perfect cover letter, tailored everything, you hit submit for a job you know you'd be great at, and then just silence. It feels like your application just disappeared into, I don't know, a black hole, never seen by a real person. You're thinking, I'm qualified, I could absolutely smash this role, but nothing comes back. And look, this isn't just you feeling frustrated. It's a really common thing happening to lots of very skilled people right now. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're really getting into something critical, something often working behind the scenes in the job market: applicant tracking systems, ATS. Our mission here is to unpack how these systems, which, let's be honest, were built to make hiring more efficient, might actually be filtering out some amazing talent, maybe even the best talent you're looking for. And for this deep dive, we're drawing inspiration from some really sharp observations by Rob van Linde. He's a Dutch expert deep into things like agility, digital innovation, transformation, AI. You get the picture. He's seeing this really frustrating pattern, especially over in the German job market. You've got people with fantastic skills, great certifications, but they just aren't connecting with the jobs. And he points to an article by Zanel Viljoen that just nails the core issue: these ATS systems. They often have hidden biases baked in, and that's costing companies big time, locking them out from talent they really need. So let's start there. The idea behind ATS, the promise, it makes sense on the surface. They're supposed to help companies wade through potentially thousands of applications, streamline things, find the right person faster. For HR teams that are totally swamped, it sounds like a lifesaver, right? A technological fix. But as Rob van Linde is pointing out, for a lot of candidates, these systems aren't helping. They're actually building walls. New walls.
Yeah, it's really fascinating, isn't it? How something designed specifically to simplify, to speed things up, can end up making it so much harder. Especially, and this is the irony, for the really top-tier candidates that companies say they want most. Rob van Linde's experience, and honestly, what we hear from skilled professionals everywhere, it shows that even with deep expertise and impressive track records, these systems are a roadblock. It's that hidden bias we need to talk about. It's not always obvious on the surface, but the effects, they're very real. A huge disconnect between talent and opportunity.
Okay, so if the intention was good and everyone agrees efficiency is needed, how? How exactly are these systems doing this? Often without anyone meaning for it to happen, creating these barriers, filtering people out. Our sources really point to what, four main problems here, four things we really need to get our heads around.
Right. And it makes you ask, if the goal is finding the best people, why are the tools missing them so often? Okay, so the first big one, a really insidious issue, is what we can call keywords over competence. The problem is, these systems rely so heavily on matching exact words, exact jargon. It's lexical matching, not really understanding the meaning. So if your resume doesn't use the precise terms the system was told to look for, even if your skills are perfect for the role, your experience proves it, well, your application might just get tossed out before a human even knows you exist.
Wow. So it's less about what you can do and more about whether you use the magic words to describe it. And those magic words have to fit into this very narrow pre-programmed definition. It's like asking a search engine for things that fly and it only gives you birds, missing planes, bats, insects. You get the idea.
Exactly. That's a great analogy. Think about, say, a project manager who's amazing at getting diverse teams to work together using, let's say, agile approaches. But if the ATS is rigidly searching only for certified Scrum Master, that brilliant PM, they might get completely missed. The system just struggles to connect those dots, to see that different phrases can mean the same core skill. And this really penalizes innovative people, right? People who might use newer terms or just describe their unique experience differently. The underlying tech, the natural language processing, it's just not sophisticated enough yet to make that kind of nuanced contextual jump. It sees the words, not the actual ability.
And that kind of rigid, almost literal-minded approach, it just snowballs, doesn't it? Leading straight into the next big problem: context-blind automation. This feels like where the lack of a human touch really starts to bite.
Well, absolutely. Algorithms, well, at least as they currently exist, they just don't have that nuanced understanding a human recruiter hopefully brings. They can't connect the dots on things like highly valuable transferable skills, skills learned in one industry that would be amazing in another. They can't really interpret an unconventional career path. Maybe someone took time off or switched fields. The ATS sees a gap, not resilience or breadth of experience. And they definitely can't grasp the deeper potential in someone's story, their professional journey. Think about maybe a military veteran. incredible leadership, logistics, strategic planning skills. But if the resume doesn't use corporate buzzwords like stakeholder management, filtered out. And ATS is basically working with black and white rules in what should be a really vibrant, colorful world of human talent and experience. It misses the narrative, the story behind the keywords, the journey that built those skills. And honestly, that's a challenge for AI generally right now, moving past just recognizing patterns to actually understanding context and, dare I say, a bit of empathy.
Okay, and this next one gets really uncomfortable, but it's so, so important. Unintentional discrimination. This really brings up serious questions about fairness, about equity in hiring.
It's absolutely crucial, especially when we talk about building diverse and equitable workplaces. The alarming thing is these ATS algorithms can, and often do, end up perpetuating historical biases. It's not usually programmed to discriminate, but it learns from the data. See, they learn by analyzing huge amounts of past hiring data. They look for patterns in the resumes of people who were hired and considered successful before. Now, if that historical data reflects existing biases, maybe the company used to hire mostly men for tech roles or people from certain universities for finance, even subconsciously layered, the algorithm can inadvertently learn those patterns. It learns what successful looked like then and reinforces it now. And that leads to systematically excluding diverse candidates, women, people of color, maybe people with disabilities, folks from non-traditional backgrounds, even older workers if it picks up on career-linked proxies. It ends up reinforcing the very inequalities we're trying to overcome.
So just to make that concrete, if a company, say 15, 20 years ago, mostly hired men for engineering roles, the ATS, looking at that old data today, might subtly learn to prefer resumes that look like those past male hires. Even if the company today is actively trying to hire more women engineers, it's like a ghost of past practices influencing the present without anyone explicitly telling it to. What makes these biases so tricky to actually find and fix?
Precisely. It's often buried deep in the statistical correlations the algorithm finds. It's not like there's a line of code saying, if gender is female, then reject.
Yeah.
It's much more subtle. Maybe the system learns that resumes with certain hobbies or certain ways of phrasing achievements statistically correlate with past hires who happen to be mostly male. So it starts subtly favoring resumes with that male-coded language or experience profile, making it just that bit harder for equally qualified women or other underrepresented groups to get through. Fixing it, well, it takes constant auditing. You have to really analyze who's getting filtered out at each stage, and you need to consciously work to de-bias the training data or adjust the algorithms, which is frankly a really complex job. It's not straightforward.
And all of these filters, the keyword rigidity, the context blindness, the unintentional bias they lead to this final core issue our source highlights. Missed opportunities for innovation. This is where you really see the direct hit to the business itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when you filter out anyone who doesn't fit this very narrow, predefined template, what do you risk? You risk creating a workforce that all thinks the same way. Homogeneity. And we know diversity isn't just a nice to have, it's a powerful engine for innovation. Different backgrounds, different life experiences, different ways of tackling problems. That's where creativity comes from. Without that richness, organizations just miss out. They miss fresh perspectives, breakthrough ideas, the kind of creative friction that leads to real problem solving. That's crucial for future success, for adapting to change. Imagine, say, a company trying to build a product for a global audience, but their entire team comes from one very specific background. How well can they truly understand and serve diverse users? Not very well, usually.
So this really isn't just about being fair to individual job seekers, though that's critical. It's a major business risk. Rob Van Linde is quite clear on this. Companies just cannot afford it. Can you elaborate a bit? What kind of risks are we really talking about beyond just, you know, losing out on someone good?
Definitely. Let's connect it to the bigger economic picture. Companies today, they simply cannot afford to miss out on those game changers. You know, the people with unique skills who could genuinely transform a product, a process, a whole business unit, all because a resume didn't tick some automated box, that translates into real, tangible losses. Think about it. Slower innovation means products get stale. Maybe you develop products that just don't connect with diverse markets because you didn't have those insights internally. Your organization might be less resilient when facing unexpected challenges because everyone approaches problems the same way. And ultimately, yeah, it hits the bottom line. Market share, profitability. In fiercely competitive markets, Rob Van Linde mentioned Germany specifically, but it applies everywhere. This isn't just one company's problem. It actually impacts our collective economic strength, especially now as we're all grappling with digital transformation, AI integration, these huge shifts. Losing diverse talent means losing the very people who can drive innovation in these critical areas. You stifle the creative energy needed to grow and adapt. It really comes down to competitive advantage. We know diverse teams consistently make better decisions and solve problems more effectively than homogeneous ones.
Okay, so given all this, what's the way forward? For companies, for individuals trying to navigate this, Robin Linda isn't just diagnosing the problem. He's really pushing for a shift, right? Towards what he calls human-centered recruitment. That sounds like more than just fiddling with the ATS settings.
Oh, it's much more than that. It really forces organizations to ask a fundamental question. How do we actually harness the power of this technology, its speed, its scale, without falling victim to its blind spots, its biases? Moving towards this human-centered approach involves, well, several key shifts in strategy. It's about moving away from just blindly trusting the automation. First off, and this is critical, companies need regular algorithm audits. Seriously regular. You have to constantly look under the hood of your ATS. Check the filters. Are they accidentally reinforcing old norms? Are they creating biased outcomes? This isn't something you do once and forget. It needs ongoing vigilance. Maybe bringing in outside experts.
Yeah.
You need to analyze the data. Who's getting through? Who isn't? And why? Then proactively tweak things, keywords, filter settings, maybe even retrain the algorithm with better data to make it fairer and more effective. Think of the ATS less like a static tool and more like a system that needs constant tending and calibration.
Right. So it's not set it and forget it. It needs active, ongoing management, like gardening almost.
Exactly. And then maybe the most important piece, human oversight, real human judgment. Technology should be there to help humans make better decisions, not replace them entirely in complex areas like hiring. The sweet spot is blending the ATS with human review at key points. Use the ATS for that initial heavy lifting screening, basic qualifications, maybe rule out totally irrelevant applications. Fine. But then, humans need to step in. Recruiters, hiring managers, they need to look at a wider pool of candidates, especially those who maybe aren't a perfect keyword match, but have really compelling transferable skills or interesting backgrounds. It's about collaboration. Let the machine handle the high volume. Let the human provide the nuance, the context, the insight. And alongside that, we absolutely need to be prioritizing inclusion right from the start of any recruitment drive. It means weaving diversity goals into the actual design of how you search for talent, not just hoping it happens or tacking it on at the end. You need to ensure your ATS is configured to support diversity, not accidentally sabotage it by screening out the very people you want to attract. What does that look like? Maybe using a broader range of keywords, maybe incorporating skills-based tests instead of relying solely on credentials listed on a resume, maybe deliberately setting aside time to view candidates flagged as non-traditional who show high potential. It's about consciously designing the top of your hiring funnel to be wide and welcoming, not restrictive.
That makes a lot of sense. If your goal is a diverse team, your first filter can't be designed in a way that excludes diversity from the get-go. You're just shooting yourself in the foot.
Precisely. And one last strategy, which helps build trust and also improves the system itself, transparent feedback. Giving candidates constructive feedback, even the ones who don't get the job, makes a huge difference. It makes the process feel less like shouting into the void for them, improves their experience. But crucially, that feedback loop is gold for the company too. If you understand why good candidates are getting stuck or screened out by the ATS, you get invaluable insights to refine the system, make it fairer, make it better. It creates this cycle of continuous learning benefiting candidates and the organization.
So what we're really saying is we need to recognize that talent, real human potential, it's just not reducible to a list of keywords. It's about smartly integrating technology, its power with human judgment, with insight, with empathy. That's how we unlock the full, amazing potential that's out there in the talent pool. It sounds like a much more powerful combination, respecting both efficiency and people. So this deep dive, it's really shown us something important. Applicant tracking systems, yes, they offer efficiency for handling lots of applications. Undeniable. But just relying on them blindly, that comes with a real cost. Often hidden, they can end up filtering out some of the most innovative, diverse, potentially game-changing people, all because a resume didn't perfectly match some preset template. And that doesn't just frustrate the person looking for a job, it's a genuine business risk. It holds back innovation, it hurts competitiveness.
Which brings us to a really important question for you listening right now. Whether you're crafting your own resume, maybe you're a hiring manager building your team, maybe you're involved in HR or recruitment in any way, how can you push for, or maybe even implement, more of these human-centered, more inclusive hiring processes? Thinking about what we've discussed, these hidden biases, what specific steps could you take? How can we make sure that the unique potential, the valuable experience every single candidate brings, is actually seen and valued? Especially as, you know, the world gets more digital, more AI-driven every day.
Yeah, think about it. How could you maybe challenge the assumptions baked into the hiring systems you use or encounter? Or even just think about how you describe your own skills. Are you using language an ATS might miss? Can you showcase your potential beyond just bullet points? Because the future of innovation, building truly dynamic and diverse workforces, it really depends on us engaging with these systems thoughtfully and pushing for a smarter, more human-aware way forward.